Should start over again? Good morning, worlds and all the inhabitant. Welcome, church, this morning. My name is Sam Berkeley. In the pulpit this morning, we have my mom, Dr. Robin Berkeley. I like to call her Mommy. You are invited to stay following this worship service for fellowship, conversation, and potluck in the fellowship hall, the Kate Work Room, just these doors behind me. If you are a newcomer this morning, we extend to you a special welcome and hope that, if this is your first time to visit, you consider entering your name on one of the visitor cards that can be found in the back of your hymnal and placing the card in the offering plate or handing it to an usher. If you'll do that, we'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about all the programs and activities coming on here at church. If you're visiting for the first time and have children with you, we want you to know that your children may certainly stay with you during the service. But we do have a professionally staffed nursery for infants and young children. If you would like to learn more about the church and about Unitarian Universalism, please visit the information displays in our fellowship hall where there are pamphlets, newsletters, and other visitor information that you are certainly welcome to take home with you. Now, I invite you to turn to your neighbors and greet them, especially the ones you do not know yet.
Hi, Sam. Nice to meet you.
God, that was tough. At least it gets easier from here.
Oh yeah, no, that's a perfect idea. Yeah. Okay. I will. You got it.
Okay. If you have a short announcement for the good of the church, please come to the microphone and be wary of the wires. We wouldn't want the half an hour a day.
Good morning. I will be up here for announcements, joys, and concerns, so I'm just going to build a house right here. Announcements first. There are still two volunteer opportunities that you can take part in. The first is coming up on October 12th. Our church is going to be on the Alton Historic House Tour, and if you wish to be here and be a host, just to kind of say hi to people and make them feel welcome. You're welcome to be here on October 12th, anytime between noon and 5. You don't have to stay the whole time. Any part of that time is fine. We just need some people here. If you cannot do that but would like to participate in that event, you can donate some snacks for the people who will be coming through on the tour. Some cookies, crackers, veggie tray, cheese, whatever you want to contribute would be very welcome. The second volunteer opportunity is coming up the first weekend of November. I believe it's November 5th, the Saturday. And that is our third joint work day in the Kensington Academy neighborhood in just north of Del Mar in St. Louis. We're working with some community groups and all three of the other Unitarian congregations. Doing some lot cleanup, brush cleanup, and things of that nature. If you like to work outside and have tools and want to help out with that, please let me know. I don't know if anybody from our congregation made it to the last one. I'd like to have at least a few people go to this one. And it starts at, I think, 7 in the morning, so it's a pretty early thing. So if you can do that for a part of the day, that would be great. Thanks.
Hi. I wanted to announce, for those of you who may not have seen on UU Friends Facebook page, that we had sort of a windfall earlier this week. Something actually literally fell off the back of a truck. And it's probably about 240 burger buns and loaves of bread that were unopened and clean and perfect. So I snagged them immediately. And so we'll be using them for our fourth Saturday lunch. Actually, all in the freezer here if you need them. but we're looking for, Claudia has agreed to do 2 pots of Sloppy Joe mix. So if anybody else would like to join her in making Sloppy Joes, that would be great. And we'll still have other items for people that we'll need volunteer things for. But I just figured I'd put you on notice regarding that. So just want to let you know. Thanks.
Ma, we are lucky. I invite you to move to the microphone, share briefly any gratitude or celebrations you may bring with you to church this morning. There will be a time to share concerns and sorrows in a few moments.
Hi again. I do actually have some gratitudes this week. Last week, if you were here, I mentioned there was going to be 3 medical tests being done in my family this week. My mom's biopsy got, they just didn't have to do it because they couldn't find the thing they were supposed to biopsy, so yay. We're still waiting on results on my aunt's biopsy, and Jamie's MRI was comfortable and not stressful. We will have results of that in a few weeks, and she wanted me to share with everybody how grateful she is for the good thoughts and wishes that everybody sent her way.
Good morning. I got a job. Yay! And I'm going to actually do archaeology. The formal letter came in the mail yesterday, and I'm going to be working for a company who's actually working at the Gateway Arch doing the archaeology on the grounds where they're doing the expansion, so I'm very excited.
Yesterday, I ran a race, a 3-mile race, and I got a PR. I ran 19:30.
I was asked by Brenda McCoy to say that Willis is coming home from rehab, coming up this week, and that they've been very, very, very grateful for all of the positive wishes and good energy that they've been they've been getting from us down here, and I know that they miss us, so we can all say hi to Brenda and Willis in case they're listening. So anyway, good news there.
I invite you to move up to the microphone to share briefly any sorrows or concerns you brought with you to church this morning. No one?
Yeah, I got one. I don't know if anybody heard, but in Edwardsville on Friday evening, a young child, 16-year-old, was killed in a car accident. Anyway, just keep his family in your thoughts. I know that there is a fundraiser out there. It's a GoFundMe fundraiser. The mother works at Goddard School in Edwardsville. So if anybody's interested, I can get you a link to that if you want to donate something to the family. They're looking to raise around $10,000. So.
I'm Ron Glossop. I want to give you a little report, not good, on Jim Elliott. Jim has had a very bad set of experiences, one problem after another after another. He just contracted a new bacterial infection and has had to go from the physical therapy unit at Del Mar Gardens North to Christian Northeast Hospital. I talked with Phyllis, his wife, and she wasn't sure how long he's going to be in the hospital. As far as visiting him, it's a very interesting situation. He loves to have visitors. The problem is, you don't know until you get there whether he's going to be alert or not able to communicate. So you might go for nothing, or you might have a half-hour conversation, depending on how he is at that particular time. But I will keep you posted on what's happening with him. Right now, things do not look very good.
May the gratitude and celebrations among us this day become a blessing to all. And may the concerns and sorrows of each be carried in all of our hearts. A burden shared become a load lightened. The prelude by Rachel Pache begins our worship service as Rowan Kinder lights our chalice. Come into this place of peace and let its silence heal your spirit. Come into this place of memory and let its history warm your soul. Come into this place of prophecy and power and let its vision change your heart. Let's worship together. Our first hymn is number 21 in the Great Hymnal and projected on the wall, For the Beauty of the Earth. Please rise up if you are able. Join a responsive reading number 634 found in the back of your gray hymnal and projected behind me. It's entitled On Turning and is in honor of the Jewish high holiday Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur.
Kippur.
Okay. Right here. Just read that in the blue. You're good.
Now is the time for turning. The birds are beginning to turn and are heading once more toward the south.
The animals are beginning to turn to find their food for the winter.
For leaves, birds, and animals, turning comes instinctively.
But for us, turning does not come so easily.
It takes an act of will for us to make a turn. It means breaking with old habits. It means losing face. It means starting all over again. And this is always painful.
It means saying, I am sorry.
It means recognizing that we have the ability to change. These things are hard to do.
Unless we turn, we will be trapped forever in yesterday's ways.
God, help us to turn from callousness to sensitivity. From hostility to love, from pettiness to purpose, from envy to contentment, from carelessness to discipline, from fear to faith. Revive our lives as at the beginning.
Skies, let's
We have been greatly blessed. Let us now give generously so that others might be blessed by the work of this church. This morning's offering will now be given and received. We receive with gratitude all generous gifts of time, talent, and treasure. And together we bless them and those who give in faith, hope, and love. Amen.
Okay, I don't really have anything prepared for the children's moment, but I know that the youth group is not necessarily meeting today, so you're welcome to stay in here. Or you could go to the other rooms to help and support Rachel and who's doing spirit play? Whoever's doing spirit play. So Rowan's doing spirit play. Anything you want to say, Rachel? All right, very good. Go now in peace. Go now in peace. May the spirit of... Oh, coming of age. I'm sorry. Coming of ages meeting. I apologize. Come. Everywhere you may go, I apologize. Coming of age, please join. Go now in peace. May the spirit of love surround you. Everywhere, everywhere you may go. Sorry about that. Can't keep track of the weeks these days. All right. So I have one reading today, I'll begin here, and then I will continue with it as I get into the sermon. And this is an excerpt from a book called The Seed of the Soul by Gary Zukav. And I first became introduced to this listening to Oprah Radio. What a shock. But it's fascinating, and I think it's really central to the message of some of the messages we get from Yom Kippur, as well as this idea of being whole. So let me begin with this question. We as a species have been asking the questions, is there a God? Is there a divine intelligence? And is there a purpose to life? For as long as we've been able to articulate questions. This time has now come for us to expand into a frame of reference that allows those questions to be answered. A larger frame of reference of the multisensory human allows an understanding of the experientially meaningful distinction between the personality and the soul. Your personality is that part of you that was born into, that you were born into, lives within and will die within time. To be a human and to have a personality are the same thing. Your personality, like your body, is the vehicle of your evolution. The decisions that you make and the actions that you take upon the earth are the means by which you evolve. At each moment, you choose the intentions that will shape your experiences and those things upon which you will focus your attention. These choices affect your evolutionary process. This is so for each person. If you choose unconsciously, you evolve unconsciously. If you choose consciously, you evolve consciously. The fearful and violent emotions that have come to characterize human existence can be experienced only by the personality. Only the personality can feel anger, fear, hatred, vengeance, sorrow, shame, regret, indifference, frustration, cynicism, and loneliness. Only the personality can judge, manipulate, and exploit. Only the personality can also be loving, compassionate, and wise in its relations with others, but love, compassion, and wisdom do not come from the personality. They are experiences of the soul. Our next hymn is number 1053 in the Teal Hymnal, How Could Anyone, repeat twice, and we're going to repeat it twice. I didn't put the words up there, so. Everybody. The title of the sermon is, We Were Not Meant to Be Perfect, We Were Meant to Be Whole. And while I think we would probably all agree with this statement, I'd like to take this time to share with you how I came to think about this and how I think it really can influence all of us in our daily lives. On one of my multitude of long treks to Columbus, Ohio, I flipped the radio to XM, and I'm, again, listening to Oprah Radio, you know, because I like to listen to talk sometimes when I'm in the car. Sometimes the music just lulls me, and that's not so good when you're driving 6 or 7 hours. So on this particular day, I was listening to Oprah Radio, and her master class was on, as she calls it. It highlights people who are doing the hard work of making sense of their lives, and she believes that these people are important role models for us. There are many people that she has in the program whom I love to listen to. Deepak Chopra comes to mind, but there are others like Joel Osteen or Tony Robbins who's just rubbed me the wrong way. And I try hard to listen to find a glimpse of what I can gain from those shows in particular, while working hard not to judge and to set aside the things I'm not so fond of. And I try to practice what I preach, and so I recalled my sermon from a couple of years ago on the GPS, and I'm whispering in my head, recalculating. So I'm not allowing myself to get caught up in some of the things that I'm not owning, and I don't agree with. But I'm trying not to judge their journey. Their path is theirs, mine is mine, and that's true UU fashion, at least as I'm trying to practice that. But there are nuggets in there that I absolutely can take away. And I think at the heart of both Austin and Robbins, I see a desire to empower people to love themselves. And I think that's really important. And that's a message I can hold on to, even if the path they take to get to that place is not something I necessarily agree with. But let me take you back to the person that they highlighted on the show. This show in particular was highlighting Jane Fonda. And now we all have our memories of who Jane Fonda is and what she stands for. I know she's an Atlanta Braves fan, which makes Lane very happy. She's an exercise guru, which is sort of how I started to get to know her. And she was a controversial figure during the Vietnam War. But the show really delved into her past and tried to explain who she was and even tried to explore why she was the person that she was today. And some of you might be just saying, as I did, Jane Fonda, spiritual role model. But it was eye-opening, so I figured I went with it. On the show, Jane shared her journey. Her mother had committed suicide when Jane was about 14 because her mother had been a victim of rape. Jane herself had low self-esteem and an eating disorder, and she had a father who was emotionally distant, and she grew up invisible in her house, or so she felt. She was a tomboy and athletic, and she didn't really feel like she fit into school either. It finally took her until she divorced Ted Turner, probably about 10 years ago, that she finally found herself, finally found her essence, her core, and dare I say, her soul. And as she shared her story, I could feel this energetic connection to her words, and it felt really familiar and very true, certainly from my own personal experiences in life, that we were not meant to be perfect. We were meant to be whole. And she found her wholeness in the last third of her life, which is a good reminder, is never too late to try to find your center and your true place of authenticity. You can feel her bliss as she was talking. You can feel her centeredness and, you know, as she spoke more and more. And it was really, truly an authentic experience, and it really touched me. Now, I've been doing a lot of research of late on the topic of authenticity. I have a paper under review with some colleagues right now looking at how someone with a concealable stigmatized identity, somebody who's gay or lesbian or who has a hidden disease or an illness, can feel more authentic and ultimately have a positive impact on the people that they lead in the organization. I'm not going to geek out and get into the nuances here, but authenticity is really at the core of the model. And given I was heading out to Columbus at the time to work on that research with my girlfriend on the topic of authenticity, this notion of we were meant to be whole really, really resonated with me. It was like everything was converging, you know, in this trip for some reason. So I sat with it and I started to think about how connected that would connect with some of my own views of spirituality and my life path through Buddhism and yoga and Unitarian Universalism. You know, what does it mean to be whole? And why does the pursuit of perfection move us away from the path to wholeness? The funny thing is, on my way back to Glen Carbon on that very same trip, I had Oprah Radio on again, and this time it was Soul Sunday. Like, okay. Then it started to all come together for me. I had read Gary Zukav's Seed of the Soul a few years ago after listening to him speak on the radio. And I found it really eye-opening about how he likens the soul to our very essence as a human. Now, for me, as a former Catholic, I had a very different idea of what a soul was or should even look like. And I have this memory of my parents' Bible as it was sitting on the coffee table in the living room, and I would open it up and I'd have these images in it. And every image of the soul was sort of like this loaf of bread or like this hollowed out white chest with wings on it. And that was supposed to exemplify what a soul was. And then anytime you saw it, you know, if it was being lifted up to heaven or if it was in purgatory or hell or wherever, the soul was ascending or descending wherever it needed to be. And I was like, and so anytime I even hear the word soul, no matter what it is, it's the first image that comes to my head. So anyway, thought that was sort of interesting. But I know now, as, you know, through my own spiritual evolution that the soul is much, much more than that. But I want to take us through how the soul, that word soul, is used in our lexicon. This is not something that's necessarily related to the world of, you know, spirituality. What happened? Oh, okay. Oh, we've got soul food. Really good stuff.
We have soul music, Soul Train. I know I can still hear the song in my head. Let me see where I off to you. We have the words soulmate. And here's a couple of things up here about soulmate. Your soulmate is someone who recognizes your divine nature and therefore helps you to recognize it in yourself. The minute, and then and a beautiful poem from Rumi. The minute I heard from my first love, the minute I heard my first love story, I started looking for you, not knowing how blind that was. And lovers don't finally meet somewhere, they're in each other all along. So, you know, beautiful words. And we use the word soul all the time, right? Even in modern books and movies, we see Lord Voldemort, whose soul has been split by the Horcruxes. It's a little gory, but we all know it's a fake image, so. And so basically, he divided his soul up, and we realize that it rendered him, you know, so weak with no morals or conscience. So is a soul something that Christians have? Something that is holy and pure and deserving of eternal salvation in heaven? Maybe. But there's a famous, and then there's this famous piece of art, which is the upper left-hand corner here, that depicts the lonely soul, and it's a woman, surprise, usually in chains and bound to a place of eternal damnation. So there she is up there. The one in the middle in the piece is also this descent into hell. The portrait part on the right is addressing sort of rising to heaven or going to hell or what have you. So there's all this imagery around Christianity and Catholicism and things like that about what the soul means. So then the question, of course, comes to me, do atheists have souls? I mean, if Christians have this ownership of the definition of the soul, then of course, since atheists don't believe in a God or eternal salvation in heaven or damnation, then they must be soulless. But of course, I think I know more than my share of amazing atheists whose character I would put up against the moral righteous individual who believes that they have a direct line to God because they thought that they had a soul and atheists didn't. I think atheists have souls. I actually know that atheists have souls. And given that, maybe souls aren't completely linked to this idea of salvation or damnation. Is a soul about how we think and who we are, a very sort of Cartesian, I think, therefore I am? Is our soul really our brain or our body and the brain working together? And I think somehow it goes a little deeper than that. And I like the series of images here. The upper right-hand side, obviously, is about meditation and this idea that the soul and your body, you know, kind of work together, and the soul, the essence of you, sort of emanates from that. Over here, life is not a competition. Find the stuff that makes your soul sing and be your own uniquely beautiful self. And that's really one of the pieces I want to hold on to, as well as this next quote by none other than the philosopher Ray Charles, who says, what is a soul? It's like electricity. We don't really know what it is, but it's a force that can light a room. Is soul our conscience or our center of morality? Not quite, but it's close. I think the soul may be greater than that, even though we will call someone soulless when we are certainly implying that they lack a moral center. When we think about soul music, soul food, what comes to mind for me energetically is something that touches my inner passions. And I want to bring us to the next slide here. These are some other great slides. It really differentiates between the body, the soul, and the spirit. And that's more of a sort of a Christian tradition on the right. But I like this one here because it tied in the three prophets of the human soul, the Greeks, the Jews, and pagans, influencing this idea of what it means to have truth, goodness, and beauty in our soul. So I like all those. When I think about the concept of a soulmate, I think about the person I feel connected to in a fundamental way, unspoken and deep, passionate and transcendent. I think for me, after a lot of deliberation and agreeing, I think with Gary Zukav, our soul is our essence. It is something that is larger than our body or our monkey brain that chatters incessantly. Our soul is that which makes us whole, unique, excellent in our own way, out our own uniquely beautiful self. When we meditate, We are trying to remove ourselves from the constraints of our body and our chattery mind to seek our deepest essence. And our soul really goes beyond our five senses. So I'm going to continue what Gary was talking about, who followed that the reading. Your soul is that part of you that is immortal. Every person has a soul, but a personality that is limited in its perceptions to the five senses is not aware of its soul, and therefore cannot recognize the influence of its soul. As a personality becomes multisensory, its intuitions, its hunches, and subtle feelings become important to it. It senses things about itself, other people, and the situations in which it finds itself that it cannot justify on the basis of the information that its five senses can provide. It comes to recognize intentions and to respond to them rather than to the actions and the words that it encounters. It can recognize, for example, a warm heart beneath a harsh and angry manner, and a cold heart beneath polished and pleasing words. Your soul is not a passive or theoretical entity that occupies a space in the vicinity of your chest cavity. It's that chest cavity thing again, coming back. It is a positive and purposeful force at the core of your being. It is that part of you that understands the impersonal nature of the energy dynamics in which you are involved, that loves without restriction and accepts without judgment. Now, it's really interesting. I was at a wedding last night, and we were talking about the sermon today, and I have to say I have pretty awesome and insightful friends, and my friend said that that he had heard the story that if you weigh someone before and after death, that they weigh less after death, some infinitesimal amount of maybe 1/10 of 1 ounce or what have you. And he thought, maybe that's, you know, the soul. You know, as you die, it leaves your body, and that's that sort of infinitesimal difference. And while Zhukov would argue probably that it's not, you know, it's not something that's physically constrained, nonetheless, you know, I thought it was sort of interesting. And he thought, you know, I don't know if it's scientifically proven, or maybe it's just the imagination of some sci-fi writer or some ivory tower theoretical physicist out there. But it's but given that life force is leaving us, energy moves us, moves on to another place, maybe there is some minute degree of mass that it holds. I don't know. But it's an interesting idea. Perhaps it's the missing link to the hard question of what makes up human consciousness. So who knows? Zhukov goes on then in the book to argue that the goal is to align the personality, as we discussed in the reading today, with the soul, to allow our inner essence to manifest itself through our day-to-day activities in a way that makes us whole and complete and at peace. The wholeness that Jane Fonda speaks of is really about us finding our soul and then allowing it to present itself in a physical manifestation, digging deep within us and finding our truth, our true self, and who we would be if someone hadn't told us who or what we should be. The pursuit of perfection is about our personality driving us to places that is not authentically who we are. It's about trying to control that which we cannot control, leading ultimately to pain and dissatisfaction. When we talk about standing on the side of love, first and foremost, we have to love ourselves. You can't love others if you can't love yourself first. This love of self comes from a deep place within us, acceptance of our flaws, but with an eye towards improving ourselves, not radically, but incrementally. Radical change is hard, and some people are really good at it. And they might decide one day, this is the day I'm going to, and insert, stop drinking, stop smoking, start exercising, whatever it is, and they never pick up another drink, another cigarette, and they exercise every day, religiously. That's not me. And it's really not everyone. There are some people, and I'm grateful for those people, but for most of us, improvement is much more incremental. And we should be gentle with ourselves over that, because the bottom line is, you know, change is not easy. I had a slide up there, but for some reason, my slideshow, I opened up the wrong one, so I'm just going to let it go. But the slide that I was going to show you had this difference between excellence and perfection. And that excellence is about how we can open up ourselves and enrich ourselves, and perfection is about this pursuit of something that's just impossible to reach. I think it's clear that the pursuit of perfection can mask or destroy our soul. The pursuit of excellence is what liberates it. Perfection is an illusion that somehow we are less than good enough. Run fast away from perfection, because perfection is the mind and the personality that are trying to stop you from experiencing who you truly are at your core. It's a heavy anchor that is wrapping itself around your neck, stopping you from reaching your full potential. Shed it today. It won't happen overnight, particularly if perfection has been a way of life for you. It's about having to break a habit, and it's hard to do that. And I chose to honor Yom Kippur today in our responsive reading because it's a day of atonement, a day to ask for forgiveness for all of our wrongdoings. I saw it as a lovely tie-in with the idea of how we can become whole by letting go of old anger and grudges, by judging less, and by giving more. And if we aim for excellence and wholeness, this can help us move on the path away from perfection and more towards a sense of loving kindness to ourselves and to others. And I challenge all of you, as you lay in bed at the end of the day, to sit back and reflect on the wholeness of you. Find the blockages and the barriers, and commit yourself to the pursuit of excellence each day. Open up your true essence that has perhaps been hidden for any number of reasons, both in and out of our control. Find your soul, embrace it, and share it with others. Right, so let's see if I can get the music thing to work here like I want. Our last, yes? Thank you. Thank you, sweetheart. So our last song is As I Am by Summer Osborne, and I should get the tune clicking right now.
I am here, I am home, as I am.
Yes, please rise and join. Thank you. Thank you, Sabrina.
I am safe, I am home. Song. We've got a ways to go, but then we're closer than we've ever been. So let's walk together on and on. I am here, I am whole as I am. I am safe. Of everybody as they laugh, put it in a book entitled Us. I am here, I am whole as I am.
Whoops. Oh no. I am safe.
I am here, I am whole as I am.
As perfect as can be, I am here, I am whole as I am.
All right, that's nice what save. I get. Thank you. Yeah, no, that's what happens when I hit the slide, and I'm not supposed to hit the slide, so. Sorry. Almost got it all, so. All right, thank you all for your patience with the technology yet again. All right, the closing benediction. It's very simple. It comes from the Buddhist teachings. Be ye lamps unto yourselves. Be your own confidence. Hold to the truth within yourselves as to the only lamp. Go boldly. Have a fabulous day. And we'll see you all soon.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Don't be Lord Voldemort.
Thank you, son. Thank you. Have a wonderful day today. Oh, join us, please, for potluck.